Welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted Nofsenbrower Show, bringing you the latest health research and world news. So good to be with you today. I tell you what, guys, I had a huge response off that show we did yesterday on the cell phone when we were talking about what God's will is for our life and how we need to be about our Father's work, and that all of this politics stuff that we talk about all the time is okay. But the truth of the matter is most of these major media companies and all of these political leaders are just obfuscating the truth in almost every situation, in which we're just being kept out here as the sheeple doing their bidding and doing their will, which is really kind of sad to me. And we talked about this yesterday in depth and how we need to be about our Father's business. And we've had a huge blow up with emails of people loving the show. Now, I apologize for the audio quality yesterday. It was pretty weak, but it was good. I mean, we came off and on a couple of times. I had a cell phone, but I thought the show overall had really good content. Also, I want you guys to know that I'll be on the Doug and Joe Hagman show, Hagman and Hagman, on Friday night for the full 3 hours from 7 until 10 p.m. And we're looking forward to that show. We'll have a lot of fun with it. My guest today, in a few minutes, he'll be coming on, will be Robert David Steele. Again, he's the former CIA operative who came on about 2 months ago on our show and had just absolutely smoked up the email lines. We had so many responses of you guys requesting for him to come back on, plus a whole bunch of folks asking questions that I've got a few of those that I've written down that I'm going to be asking him today. But before we start the broadcast with Robert, I want to just give a special, how should I say this? May they rest in peace to the standoff in Waco, to David Koresh and his followers at the Branch Davidian compound, who basically, this was like, I think 26 years ago now, that they were basically 25 years ago, 32, it was 1993. Today, the spring of 1993, they were brutally murdered by the federal government there in the standoff that happened in Waco through the ATF, which looked like flamethrowers were coming out of the tanks they were using to come after the facility, and a whole bunch of people died in that standoff. That was brought to us by Bill Clinton and Janet Reno. Let me give you a little bit about that. In the spring of 1993, the Branch Davidian Christian sect gained worldwide notoriety when agents from the ATF attempted to execute a search warrant on his compound a few miles outside of Waco. The ATF was investigating allegations of illegal weapons hoarding. On Sunday, February the 28th, a fierce two-hour gun battle took place between, leaving six Davidians and four ATF agents dead. A 51-day standoff ensued. Among the siege, the Branch Davidians' charismatic leader, David Koresh, asked for one of his sermons to be broadcast on a national radio station in return for giving himself up to the FBI agents. The surrender never happened. Though a number of Davidians left the compound during the siege, dozens remained outside. On April the 19th, today, more than 80 of them, including 17 children, perished in a fire that engulfed the complex. The television footage was beamed around the world. Now, I want to just reach out to the families and tell the families that this happened to, and the children who got out, and the children who had families who got out, and all the people that were involved in this. You know, our heart still goes out with you. We haven't forgot that. We haven't forgot Ruby Ridge. We haven't forgot any of this stuff. And we know we haven't forgot the Oklahoma City bombing. We haven't forgot 9/11. And we know what a rogue government is capable of doing and how they can easily and quickly strip the rights of the people away and simply execute them. This was basically an execution in Waco. There was absolutely no reason for this to have escalated like this. They should have stood down, walked away. These guys had not been found guilty of anything. They were just doing an investigation on them, and they chose not to cooperate. But certainly all those people did not need to die, including all of those children. It was absolutely a travesty that this country should be ashamed of, and we should realize with the tyranny of the government. Now, let me share with you something. This was under Bill Clinton, under the liberal left, supposedly. It's no different than under George H. Bush. Now, remember, George H. wrestled control of the White House away from Ronald Reagan after he was shot several months into his presidency, and they kept Reagan pretty much sedated through the entire pregnancy. And Bush ended up having pretty much control of the White House for the 8 years that Reagan was in tenure there, including the 4 years after Reagan got out and Bush won. Then Clinton came in. Then, of course, we ended up with Bush W, who brought us, 9/11 and all the mess that's going on in the Middle East. And it just goes on and on and on. We have been under the control of this Nazi Bush crime cabal, gosh, since the early 80s with Reagan under George H. In fact, even goes before that, when I believe a coup was taken of the United States government when Kennedy was shot. But we'll ask all these questions plus many more to Robert David Steele today and see what he thinks about all of this. Robert, are you with me yet?
I am here.
Okay, well, good. You've heard my commentary. My audience already knows who you are. You need no introduction to them. Robert's a former CIA operative, and he basically was touring the country right now on radio and TV via Skype, and I'm sure he's doing some traveling, telling the world the truth about what's going on with the government, who's really in charge. So anything happened in the last couple of months, a lot of people have become very, very disappointed in Trump. A lot of people don't think that he's going to do what he said he was going to do. Robert, what do you think is happening?
I'm honestly not sure. I mean, there are multiple possibilities, but the most likely is that he is now suffering from some combination of blackmail and bribery. And it's been made clear to him that he will either play along with the deep state or he will be assassinated. And if he does play along, he'll get $20 billion at the end of his four-year term.
$20 billion or $20
million? $20 billion. I wouldn't buy Trump for less than $20
billion. Wow. Okay. Okay, I've got some questions for some of the listeners from the last time you were on. They want to know if you think that the Pedogate issue will ever be prosecuted, or is it dead?
No, it's not dead. And in fact, I really credit Trump. He's had some enormous successes, to include canceling the Trans-Pacific Trade Partnership, which is just fascism incarnate. He's got a Supreme Court justice. He's reached out to business. So Trump has had some successes. But he's also had some failures. But among his successes are 3,000 pedophile arrests. And it's very possible that Trump made a mistake. I personally would have done the Election Reform Act first. We call it the Unity Integrity Act. Cynthia McKinney and I and some others are going to take that on the road this summer. But in going after the pedophiles, Trump may well have signed his death warrant or assured the offer of a bribe of such magnitude that he simply cannot refuse. Because pedophilia is the Achilles heel of the deep state. And I would really emphasize that the Republicans, as well as Wall Street, are the primary pedophile practitioners. The Democrats are pedophilia light. So no, it's not dead. In fact, Sacha Stone at Humanitat has been talking about creating an international tribunal on child trafficking and exploitation. One of the things that many people may not realize is that we have 1 million missing children in the United States every single year. And they're not just kidnapped to be sexually abused or murdered in ritual murders, but they're kidnapped and murdered and harvested for body parts and for bone marrow. Technology's now gotten to the point where bone marrow can be taken from a child and reutilized. I'm extremely concerned that Trump has basically not been very strategic about taking office, and that he's surrounded himself with traitors like Rentz Priebus and Herbert McMaster. Herbert McMaster is a disciple of John McCain and is now known to have worked with Saudi Arabia and Israel to fund the White Helmets, who are being hosted by the Atlantic Council, which is very much a part of the deep state, on the 25th of April right here in Washington, D.C. And they're going to lie to the public, just as the Kuwaiti ambassador's daughter was brought forward as a witness to Congress to lie to Congress about how the Iraqis were throwing Kuwaiti babies against the wall out of incubators. So pedophilia is not dead. Pedophilia is the Achilles heel of the deep state. But what I'm finding is no one wants to touch it. Everyone is terrified. Investigators won't go into it. Crowdfunders won't raise money for pedophilia investigations. At Google, Gestapo under Eric Schmidt's control is very effectively repressing all discussions of pedophilia. They've now whipped Alex Jones into shape. So it's a challenge.
Well, has Alex capitulated? I mean, because I can't. He's not really covering the issues like he was.
It's almost no. Alex has capitulated. Alex has groveled and apologized and promised never to do it again. I don't know if they've restored his $3.5 million in ad revenue that was illegally taken away from him. But I will tell you that I'm seeing all indications are that Google Gestapo includes Twitter and Facebook, as well as surrogates like YouTube and AdRoll. And in fact, they're not only doing it as a political move here in the United States. Google and Facebook and Twitter are manipulating searches. polls, trends, and commentary, as well as ad revenue. But it turns out they're actually doing a dry run. They're using the United States as a test bed to demonstrate to China that they can deliver a social media architecture with a censorship board that fully satisfied the communist Chinese. Now imagine that. The United States of America is Eric Schmidt's test bed for selling communist China a censorship system. And Donald Trump is silent on this.
Okay, you just said a whole lot here. Okay, now I'm still kind of blown away by this. Now, let me ask you another question, and it seemed obvious to me, but I'm going to say it to you also. Donald Trump appeared on a lot of alternative talk show, radio show host programs, and the majority of these folks that he appeared on their shows are unwilling to call him out for this stuff. Have you seen the same phenomenon?
I was one of the first people to support Donald Trump in July 2015, and I've written the Trump Revolution series at Amazon, Kindle, and all of those titles are also free online if you search for the title of the Kindle, so I'm not pimping the books. I'm still holding out for the possibility that Donald Trump is a genius. Part of the reason I'm willing to believe that for a minute is because the missile attack was against an abandoned Air Force base. And he appears to have prearranged that with Putin and Assad. And it's possible that half the missiles were directed at ISIS targets. And I do not underestimate Donald Trump at all. We estimate Donald Trump at our peril, much as Hillary Clinton underestimated Donald Trump. However, I've read very carefully Justin Raimondo's excellent article about how it may be that Trumpism needs to move on. The movement without the man. So I'm talking to Cynthia McKinney and Ellen Brown and some others, and we're thinking about how to bring together the alt-right, people of color, and you have to remember, there are more people of color in jail today, thanks to Bill and Hillary Clinton's crime bill, than there were slaves at the beginning of the Civil War.
That's true.
The black people have been completely screwed over by the Democratic Party. And I personally feel all black intellectuals, with the exception of Cornel West, have been absolute failures. I love Brother Cornel West. His book, Democracy Matters, is a Nobel-level prize-winning piece of literature. So we want to bring together alt-right, people of color, Latinos, the small parties, including the Libertarians and the Green Party, which really matter, emerging parties like Working Families, and all of the independents. And we want to come together under the mantra of the deep state is our common enemy. The enemy of our enemy is our friend. We should all come together and set aside all ideological and issue differences and simply agree that we need to take down the two-party tyranny, the secret intelligence mass surveillance system, and the bankers that own them, namely the Rothschilds and, of course, Wall Street and the City of London. I think this is within our power. I think we can execute a nonviolent revolution. I think we can demonstrate truth and reconciliation, which my version is everyone gets the truth, no one goes to jail. And we simply tell the Rothschilds, it's over. Get out of our way. Survive.
Well, I'm going to ask you, I guess I wasn't clear on the question. I've noticed a lot of the talk show hosts that had Trump's ear before the campaign and during the campaign, they're unwilling to go out and point out any of these things he's doing, including putting different people from the CFR into positions of power, in addition to that, putting Gottlieb in. I mean, I'm noticing that a lot of these guys simply aren't.
You're absolutely right. There is one exception, and that is Victoris Libertas, where I've been appearing, and some of my videos are getting 250,000 views. Victoris Libertas is holding the line on its integrity.
Good.
And they're saying that they feel an obligation to call Trump out if he's betraying all of his promises. And I think that we need to do that. And part of the problem, I think, is Steve Bannon and, of course, Judas Priebus, we call him. Judas Priebus absolutely does not want Trump to unrig the system. The 9 or 10 Goldman Sachs people absolutely do not want Trump to do honest health care reform or tax reform. Steve Bannon was the last holdout. Of course, Jared Kushner may be a Mossad agent. But Steve Bannon has been spanked for being the one guy that said, don't do the missile attack. And Bannon has only himself to blame, because my memorandum, my first memorandum to the president, was read by over 1 million Americans. And I would say about 100 of them reached Steve Bannon and said, you've got to show this memo to the president. And Bannon came back to me through two people and said, well, you know, some nice ideas, but I'm not about to share the president's ear with Cynthia McKinney and Dennis Kucinich and Ron Paul. How stupid is that?
Wow, but no, I want you to know, the radio station that you're talking about, I'm not familiar with them, but I know that Doug Hagman and Sheila and myself and Dave Hodges, we've been holding, you know, his feet to the fire for what's happened and what he's done, because we realize that, you know, this is not, it's like you said earlier in the show, and by the way, you said that very succinctly, it may be a movement without Trump.
Trump. You know, I want to stress, and by the way, I was made by you and the Hagman and Hagman Report, and then later by Greg Hunter and Common Sense with Dave Hodges, and I love all you guys. Here's my bottom line. There's two bottom lines for Donald Trump. Number one, a sitting legitimate president who chooses to take on the deep state is priceless. We need Donald Trump if we want to do this quickly and effectively and in time to basically make Congress honest again in 2018 and then re-elect Trump as an independent president or elect a coalition team and move forward. We need to reestablish integrity in our government. Now, it's possible Donald Trump is being blackmailed. And my message to Donald Trump is, I don't care what you've done. I don't care if you've murdered 15 grandmothers after raping them. If you're being blackmailed, come clean with the American public and let us help you take down the deep state. Because a legitimate president is worth far more than any past crime. And of course, we know how many crimes Obama and the Clintons and the Bushes have committed. So I'm concerned that Trump might be subject to blackmail. I'm also concerned that Trump might be subject to bribery. A number of us speculated on whether he had been bribed by Lynn Rothschild with an offer of $20 billion to throw the election to Hillary Clinton. And we use what we call the hidden planet method of analysis, which is you look for an explanation when there is no other explanation to be found. So again, I don't know. But what I do know is we're running out of time. The 1st of May is coming up. We may still see a violent American spring, although I understand that there's been some serious discussions have been had. George Soros now understands he's got a target on his forehead, and that's a good thing. So I don't know what's going to happen, but I personally believe that 1 May is the drop-dead date for Donald Trump to get his head out of his ass and talk to the rest of us.
Well, you know, you said something earlier, and I want to just jump back on this, because I got a whole list of questions for you, but you're like a reservoir of information, and I love it because, you know, we agree on like everything you say. I want to know this organ trafficking, and I know this is a fact, and now you guys have to listen to me for just a second on this, for my listeners here. The biggest problem with organ transplants in the United States, especially livers, is the use of statin drugs and all of the drugs that most Americans are on. Once you damage a liver to a point where it can no longer be transplanted, it becomes useless as far as a transplant item. In the third world countries such as Haiti and different parts of the world where they don't have this giant drug culture of statins and all these other chemicals, their organs are much better and much more viable for transplants, especially with younger children and younger adults that have not been basically abused or have suffered from malnutrition. So tell me about the Clinton Foundation, organ transplants, what went down in Haiti, what was going on in Haiti, why they hate the Clintons so badly in Haiti, and if it was because they were taking organs and killing these young children, or if these young children were being sold into sex slave, or a combination of all of it. Go ahead.
Well, I have no direct knowledge, so my knowledge is indirect. But I did write a certified letter to James Comey, the director of the FBI, urging him to investigate the Clintons for pedophilia, electoral fraud, treason, and charity fraud in that order. It's now well known Charles Ortel has done a tremendous job of investigating the Clintons with open sources of information, and there's absolutely no question that all three Clintons, including Chelsea Clinton, who is just like her mom in so many ways. There's absolutely no question that all three Clintons could easily be indicted and sent to jail for the rest of their life for charity fraud. We now know that they're guilty of electoral fraud. They stole 13 primaries from Bernie Sanders. We now know that all the money they took in for Haiti stayed with them. They only spend about $5 million a year out of the billions they've collected. We also now know that there are indeed some, according to other sources, there are indeed some serious questions about the Clintons bringing Haitian orphans back to the United States only to have them disappear. Not necessarily connected to the Clintons, there's the whole issue of Dynacor running a body organ harvesting business. We know that war is a profit center for the elite. And it's not just a profit center financially. It creates refugees as a business line, and it does, as you say, provide almost an unlimited source of bodies, not just for the sex trade, but for organ transplants, bone marrow transplants, satanic rituals, the whole nine yards. I mean, the FBI is not a serious federal counterintelligence agency. It's a theater service. It's a theatrical agency. It simply does not take seriously all of the missing children, nor does it take seriously all of the murdered environmental and medical and other activists. So there's more to be done. But I'm very concerned because pedophilia and child abuse does seem to be a taboo topic within the two-party tyranny. And that's one of the reasons why I want an Election Reform Act, because we need to take pedophilia very, very seriously.
Wow. Okay, here's another question for you, but in the same vein. My listeners want to know if they're ever going to prosecute Hillary or Susan Rice or both.
Wait, say that again?
Is Hillary ever going to be prosecuted?
My best guess is that she'll die soon. And my sense is that Trump has cut a deal with the Clintons in which they are supposed to be invisible from this point forward. Again, I believe in truth and reconciliation. As heinous as the Clintons have been, Dick Cheney has done far worse. I mean, I reviewed a book called Vice, Dick Cheney and the Hijacking of the American Presidency. And in my executive summary of that book on Amazon, I itemized 23 impeachable offenses that Dick Cheney committed while in office, as documented by that book. So I don't think we get anywhere with vindictive justice. I really genuinely, sincerely feel we have to move on beyond the Bushes, beyond the Clintons, beyond the Cheneys, beyond Obama. We have to focus on restoring the power of the public. And I love the alt-right, but I think that it's time now for the alt-right to reach out a hand to the people of color, to Latinos, to the small parties, any libertarian except Gary Johnson, to the Green Party, any Green except Jill Stein. You know, all of these people need to be brought together. And I have to backtrack on that. We should welcome Gary Johnson and Jill Stein for all of their flaws, because we have to come together if we want to restore integrity to our government. I mean, I like to say there's nothing wrong with America the Beautiful that can't be fixed and fixed fast by restoring integrity to our government. Not only the election process, but how Congress operates, evidence-based, transparent. We have to destroy the central banking system. We have to end the ability of Wall Street. I want to end the ability of the federal government to tax individual citizens. I want to restore state rights. Reverse the 17th Amendment. Senators should represent the states, not the public that elected them. So there's a lot of work to be done. But I bless Donald Trump every single day. I will go to my grave saying, God bless Donald Trump. Because for all of his flaws, for his accidental victory, he opened the people's mind to the possibility that we could defeat the deep state.
Wow, that's really, really well said. Several more questions. Do you think that Trump has made deals with the Rothschilds? You said maybe perhaps a bribe on the foreign policy front in return to get domestic agendas passed?
I think Trump has made deals with everybody, in part to avoid assassination, in part to position Ivanka Trump to be president one day. in part because that's what he does. Now, a positive aspect of Donald Trump, which some may think negative, but I take it as a positive aspect, is he's ready to break every deal every day. And what I don't sense happening is I don't sense Donald Trump feeling the love of the people. He is locked in a closet in the White House. And I think Steve Bannon made a very serious mistake in rejecting my offer of bringing Ron Paul, Dennis Kucinich, Cynthia McKinney, Jesse Ventura, and myself onto Donald Trump's team with the specific intent of creating a base for Donald Trump across America vastly larger than the 17% that are controlled by the Democrats and the 13% that are controlled by the Republicans. Essentially, Donald Trump and Steve Bannon had decided to spit on the 73% that did not vote for him. That is, in my view, a huge mistake. It can be fixed, but it needs to be fixed before the 1st of May.
Now, why is the 1st of May? What is the deadline with the 1st of May? Why do you? I know you've said that several times. Explain to me. I don't understand why the 1st of May is such an important day.
Well, May Day has always been important as a liberation date. But it's also the day we need to start hitting the college campuses before school is out this summer. If we want to get the Election Reform Act passed in time to impact on 2018, then we need to be able to pressure every member of Congress while they're at home for the summer recess. And I basically want to do a variation of Occupy, where we occupy the front lawn of every senator and every congressman over the summer. And we occupy that front lawn until such time as they sign a pledge to co-sponsor the Election Integrity Act of 2017, what we're calling the Unity Integrity Act. If they do not co-sponsor the act, if they do not agree to co-sponsor the act, then I want to begin immediate recall procedures against every senator and congressman that refuses to do so. We cannot do that unless the alt-right people of color and Latinos and libertarians and Greens and independents come together. So we have to come together in order to take back our Congress. Now, the act includes public funding for campaigns. It includes paper ballots, which will stop the Democratic theft of the House of Representatives. And it probably needs to include some kind of forgiveness measure for all of the pedophiles in Congress, because a lot of them are being blackmailed by the CIA, by NSA, and by the Mossad, because many of them, and some of them, you have to understand, aren't pedophiles, but they have been entrapped with, one of them explained to me how this happens. They basically get drugged up and drunk, and they go into a bedroom with a buxom legal age blonde or whatever, and they're all naked in bed, and the blonde suddenly disappears, and a 12-year-old comes out, and they kind of don't make the transition. And so they're videotaped having sex with a 12-year-old when they thought they were going to have sex with a 30-year-old. They're toast. Okay? The Jeffrey Epstein Mossad pedophilia videotape entrapment business is one of the single biggest returns on investment that the Zionists have ever made in this country. They have everybody, and I speculate they have Chuck Schumer as well.
Wow, I mean, I that's, again, you know, we could do another two, three hours just on what you just said. Now, you said that the Epstein had a hotel. Was that in D.C. or was that in New York?
Well, I think the no-name hotel is in New York, and it may actually have rooms in the Trump Tower. You know, you need to understand that Jeffrey Epstein is a fake billionaire. He was given $1 billion by a real billionaire, and he was basically sent to New York as a Mossad agent to create the pedophilia entrapment business. Lolita Island is his best-known situation. And, of course, your listeners may be aware that it's not just Bill Clinton, but Hillary Clinton that has gone down there multiple times, only Bill and Hillary Clinton always go down separately and alone because they have different tastes. And Jeffrey Epstein caters to those tastes. Your listeners might also be interested in the fact that Epstein's partner was Ghislaine Maxwell, who is almost certainly a Mossad agent, whose father was a Mossad agent, Robert Maxwell. There's an excellent book by about Robert Maxwell called Robert Maxwell, Israeli Super Spy. He's the guy that helped the Israelis penetrate every U.S. communications and computing system with a software called Promise. And he only got better after that. I have personally speculated that Jeffrey Epstein and Ghislaine Maxwell profiled Chelsea Clinton and Ivanka Trump, the two most eligible bachelorettes in the United States of America, from a very early age. And the Mossad actually managed their husband selection process. And they have basically been entrapped. And unbeknownst to them, I believe their husbands are both deeply responsive to the Mossad and the Zionists.
Wow, that's a, you know, if you haven't been a former CIA operative yourself, and you said something, if you had said something like that, I'd be thinking, this is a deep rabbit hole. But I tell you what, this rabbit hole.
I have been in this rabbit hole.
I want you to repeat that again for my listeners' benefit. I mean, I heard what you said. You said that the Mossad may have selected Ivanka and Chelsea Clinton's basically husbands to put them into the situation that they're in right now, and that they're being controlled via the Mossad, via their.
The way you do it is you psychologically profile your target. And we've had this problem in the CIA because a lot of CIA female case officers have fallen to Mossad honey traps. With men who also fall to Mossad honey traps, it's a little bit easier because the men can give up the honey trap once security is all over them. But the women have trouble doing so. They really, really think they're in love. They don't get that this guy was tailor-made to basically suck them in. And I would say that we do need to offer Jared Kushner an opportunity to clear himself. And you do that with three polygraphs, and you do that by harvesting all of his emails and cell phones, which NSA has. They've collected it all from 2 years before he met Ivanka all the way up to today. So Kushner can be cleared or crucified based on the NSA holdings, which we have in hand, and three polygraphs. Now, I don't care one way or the other, but I think people need to understand that the coincidence of Chelsea Clinton and Ivanka Trump marrying Jewish men is too great to be ignored by any worthwhile counterintelligence officer.
I have to agree with you. In fact, this weekend it was interesting. I have a friend of mine who's a nationally known TV evangelist, and you know, Trump brought in a total team of, you know, of clergy. He had 1,000 people that he brought up to D.C. to talk to, or to New York to talk to, before the election, after he was basically put in office, or before he was elected, before he took the oath of office. And he's still meeting with these top TV evangelists on an ongoing basis. And I'm talking meetings inside of the Oval Office. And he's meeting with these guys who have these huge footprints around the country. They may have 1 million, 2 million, 3 million, 5 million, 10 million listeners a week, because there are TV evangelists that have that large of a footprint. And he's meeting with these guys on a regular basis. And I told my friend, who is also a huge TV evangelist, I said, there's a high possibility the CIA is doing a psyops on these top TV evangelists to keep them inside of Trump's court, to keep them inside of the inside that spot where they think that they're being catered to by the president of the United States, to control what they say so they can control the flock, so they don't say anything derogatory about Trump. And my evangelist friend thought that was hilarious. And I said to him, I said, well, be honest with you. I said, I'd have thought years ago that would be crazy too. And so until I read about all these crazy people with, you know, doing soul cooking parties and all the nutty stuff that we heard before the election, anything at this point is really not off the table anymore. What do you think about him catering to these TV evangelists, having them in the White House, keeping them inside his court?
I think the TV evangelists and Alex Jones and all others, certainly on Fox News and CNN, are controlled by the CIA. Time Magazine is controlled by the CIA. I consider Massimo Calabresi, whom I used to know and think well of, to be a controlled asset of the CIA. His cover story on the Russians hacking the election was, in my judgment, written by the CIA. Your listeners cannot underestimate the influence of not just the CIA, but the deep state, the Trilateral Commission, the Council on Foreign Relations, the Atlantic Council. The Atlantic Council is hosting the White Helmets in Washington, D.C. on the 25th of April. The White Helmets are the people who did the false flag attack. The MIT professor has done a great job of showing that this was a ground event with an improvised device at ground level. It was not an attack by Assad. It's very clear that Israel and Saudi Arabia co-conspired with David Petraeus and Herbert McMaster and John McCain and John Brennan to do a false flag attack to basically force Trump's hand. Now, all of these people, I mean, there's basically, you need to understand, the Zionists control 80% of the political money in the United States. And so the complicit media, the secret intelligence services, the military industrial complex, the pharmaceutical complex, of course, the banking complex, everybody in those complexes makes it clear to the evangelists that their business will go away if they break ranks. All right? So I think you guys in the alternative media that are willing to call Trump out and to question the official narrative are heroes of the American Revolution, the second American Revolution. We need to do more of this. My intent is to try and organize a campaign from the 1st of May to the 1st of June that reaches college campuses, and we're going to do a lot of YouTube interviews, and we're basically going to try and recreate Occupy, but focused on occupying the front lawns of individual senators and representatives over the summer and demanding of those 500 or so individuals that they agree to co-sponsor the Unity Integrity Act of 2017 when Congress reconvenes after the summer. And if they don't, I want to literally cover their lawn in artificial crap. We've got this Chinese manufacturer that can make this. I mean, you know, I'm talking about sawdust and fiberglass.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. And put that on their lawn and take pictures of it and basically embarrass them to death. The only thing that can beat organized money is organized votes. And I think we're close, because of Trump, we're close to being able to unite the tribes.
Well, how about Paul Ryan? What in the world? Why can't, does Trump see through this clown?
Paul Ryan is an artifact. But then so is Donald Trump. So is Scott Walker. I will say on the record that I believe that Scott Walker, Paul Ryan, and Rens Priebus are at a minimum enablers and cover-uppers of pedophilia, if not themselves practitioners.
Hmm. Wow, that's a strong statement.
Think back to Denny Hassert. Denny Hassert's the tip of the iceberg.
Oh,
you don't
was.
Get to be Speaker of the House unless you are approved by the pedophile elite.
You know, the last time you were on the show and you said that, you know, if we have no idea how many of these congressmen have been completely and totally blackmailed and who are involved in all of these perversions in the White House, not the White House, but in Congress and in the Senate. And, you know, and I think you're absolutely right. I think that this thing is so deep throughout the entire, it's systemic is what I should say. It's just poured through just like this concrete through the whole doggone system. I mean, so the only way we can get this mess out of here is we've got to expose it, number one, and we have to do a complete and total election turnover and get these guys out of the White House, or, you know, well, not necessarily Trump, but all of the people around them.
Well, you know, there's a problem, actually, because if you get, one of the things I've learned the hard way is that if you do term limits or if you flip out the entire Congress, what you actually have on Capitol Hill is a staff pedophile gay mafia. You would be stunned by how many of the staff on Capitol Hill are overt gays, which is good because they can't be blackmailed, but how many are also covert gays and pedophile participants. And if you flip out the entire Congress, you actually need to flip out the entire staff also. Because in my judgment, 80% of the congressional staff are totally compromised and disloyal to the public.
You know, I've got to say something here, and this is, I've said it on my show, and it's funny you said this exactly what I said, just different words. 2 years ago, I spoke at a huge conference up in Washington, D.C. I was one of the keynote speakers there for the evening presentation for 2 nights. And I went through the halls of Congress meeting with different representatives. And I was there with Coach Dave Dobbelmeyer. And as we walked through the halls of Congress and I saw the aides and all of the people walking through, I looked it over at Dave and I said, Dave, are we the only guys in here right now that aren't gay? And he looked at me and goes, Ted, I don't know, dude, because like everybody we're looking at, like literally everyone, 90%, 95%, were completely and totally effeminate. And they all acted like they were homosexuals. And I thought, this is crazy. And I said, are we being run by these gays? I mean, is this how this is working? So you're telling me basically it has been taken over by the effeminate gay lobby? I mean, what do you call these guys?
I call these guys the best of the servant class, all right? They're there to give blowjobs to the elite.
Man.
And I mean that in every possible negative way.
Pretty negative.
the elite has successfully owned Congress. I mean, USA Today, to its enormous credit, did an excellent article on how 40 specific billionaires own the U.S. Congress. And what I've learned, the big eye-opener for me is it's not just about eliminating congressional dependence on banking and corporate and Zionist and Saudi Arabian money. We also have to have a come-to-Jesus meeting with each of them. In essence, we have to give every congressman a chance to confess whatever it is that they're being blackmailed about, give them absolution and a presidential pardon, and then say, we're going to give you a clean sheet if you will reconnect with your constituents and pass the Election Reform Act and swear henceforth to never caucus with the two-party tyranny and instead make evidence-based decisions that your constituents approve of. We're not that far from being able to do that, but we have to want it across all political boundaries. We are not going to get anywhere if we delusionally think that we can run a party system attack on the two-party tyranny.
I agree with you. In fact, I wrote this morning to someone. One of my friends emailed me, and I sent him a text, and I said, well, you and I are on the same page with this one. What a mess. Trump has capitulated to his insanely liberal daughter and son-in-law. What is crazy is that many of the conservative talk show hosts are also still making excuses for Trump. I said, I believe we need to call him out for what he's turned into, what's just turned into campaign promise lies. And then I kind of summed it up. The international banker, CIA, mafia, Mossad, satanic, human sacrifice, blood drinking, pedophile, child trafficking, drug running, human organ trafficking group is still in charge. I mean, that kind of sums it up, doesn't it?
I think it does, because my first memorandum to the president was read by over 1 million citizens. My second memorandum, probably fewer. But that second memorandum attracted some attention, and an absolutely wonderful person sent me a translation of my memorandum. He translated it into Trump speak. And so if your listeners go to phibetaiota.net and just search for Trump speak, they'll get to what is, in essence, the idiot's version of my memo to Trump. And it reads very, very well. I mean, there's no question but that it's put into language, because Trump is used to speaking at the fourth grade level. And it's not because he's not a smart man, but because he's learned that that's how he can communicate with the largest possible number of people. He's absolutely gifted. I mean, I want nothing more than to have Trump execute the 7 ideas in my Trump speak memo. And then lead Jesse Ventura and Ron Paul and Cynthia McKinney and a few others across the country, barnstorm the country, 50 states in 30 days, demanding over the summer, demanding the Election Reform Act of 2017. That will set the stage for Donald Trump to be the greatest president in modern history. It will also keep him alive, because we will include a truth and reconciliation exit strategy for the Rothschilds and their ilk. But if Donald Trump does not do that, then I'm prepared to work with others to try to do that beginning on the 1st of May. He has until the 1st of May to take our hand.
All right. Okay. You sent me an email the other day. I want to cover a couple of points on this. And it said several things are going on with Trump, basically. It says, number one, he may or may not have been compromised. The options are, number one, he is playing a brilliant 3D chess, hitting an abandoned airfield by design. The firing missiles hits ISIS targets, the missing missiles. He and Putin are trolling the neocons and the Zionists, and Kushner is loyal to Dad and playing the odds, playing the Zionists. That's that, part of that may or may not be true. Now, while I'm thinking about on Kushner's thing here again, you said that you think Kushner may be a Mossad agent. Tell us about Kushner's family. Tell us about his dad. Tell us about Chris Christie and him putting his father in jail, and how basically Kushner is very, very, how should I say, unforgiving of people who have gone after him or his family. Just give us a lowdown on who the real Kushner clan is and how they're kind of linked with the mafia up there in the Northeast as far as in their building trade. Who are these guys?
Well, again, I have no direct knowledge, so I certainly should not be seen as an oracle. Anyone can look up the fact that Kushner's father is a felon, and he met two other felons in prison, and now Kushner's business is being run by three felons. That all by itself does not speak well for the Kushner clan. What concerns me about Kushner is that Trump seems to be allowing him to not only dominate the national security domain, but to be excessively, I mean, Kushner is doing stuff with Israel that would be impeachable if the president were doing it. I just don't feel comfortable at all. Now, Christie put Kushner's father in jail. And obviously a jury of the man's peers decided that he deserved to go to jail. Kushner may have taken it personally. I don't really care. I don't think that Kushner and Ivanka and Rince Priebus and Herbert McMaster should be in the White House. I think Donald Trump needs a professional chief of staff, someone like David Stockman. Ivanka should be in some kind of special role in a learning mode. I mean, I don't know if she really fell for the false flag photos or not, but I never underestimate the naivete of people who have grown up in a bubble, and she has grown up in a bubble. Now, I have said that I think she's the reincarnation of John F. Kennedy Jr., and I think she has enormous potential as our first legitimate female president who is a kind of crossover between the Democrats, the Republicans, and everybody else. And I would certainly support Ivanka Trump for president if we can clear Kushner or get them divorced. And I would certainly support Donald Trump for a second term if he takes our hand now in the first term. But on his present course, Donald Trump is headed for impeachment in 2019.
Now, what will they impeach him on?
You can start with the missiles. Now, bear in mind that impeachment is in the eye of the beholder. Remember that we impeached Bill Clinton for a blowjob, for lying about it. So if you can impeach Bill Clinton for a blowjob, you can absolutely impeach Donald Trump for firing missiles on Syria without congressional approval. This is a no-brainer. I expect the Democrats to take the House. If there is a pedophilia explosion, and I'm hoping that Julian Assange is planning to take down the Republican Party just the way he took down the Democratic Party, but taking the Republican Party down with pedophilia exposures that will result in four Republican senators resigning, committing suicide, or going to jail. If that happens, I think the Democrats will take the Senate as well. So they can not only impeach Donald Trump in the House, they can convict him in the Senate.
Okay. Now, the second thing you said, that he may be being blackmailed, bribed with both, and we don't know what that's. We've already covered that. Number three, you said he may be confused and struggling in the current position he in, because basically he was never supposed to be president, and he was kind of the accidental president, you call him. Do you think there's a possibility he's confused and struggling, or he's just putting on a show?
One of my favorite books is a book called Shogun. And the main actor in that book puts on a show that buys time. And in the end, he emerges victorious because everybody fell prey to the illusion that he created of confusion and so forth. I mean, I absolutely want to believe that Donald Trump is a genius and that he's playing for time and that Kushner is absolutely loyal to Trump and that he's playing Kushner against Israel. Everything is possible. But Colin Gray, who wrote the book Modern Strategy, likes to say that time is the one strategic variable that cannot be bought nor replaced. Donald Trump is running out of time. If we want to have an honest Congress that makes evidence-based decisions in the public interest following the 2018 elections, then we need to pass the Unity Integrity Act before November of 2017. And if we want to pass the Unity Integrity Act before November of 2017, we need to start mobilizing for that by 1 May. And, you know, it's funny, there's a story of this white guy falls into an alligator-strewn river in South Africa, and a black guy comes along, he says, "Give me your hand, give me your hand." And the white guy won't take his hand, and finally the black guy has an epiphany, that's the Republican word for aha, and he says, "Take my hand, take my hand." And the white guy takes his hand and is saved. There are 50 million of us out here trying to give Donald Trump our hand, and he's not taking it. It's very frustrating.
Well, Robert, don't you think that just maybe he wants to take it? Just maybe he wants to do what's right? Just maybe he wants to do what he said during the election process? But just maybe he's been so compromised that he's had to capitulate to avoid either jail time, avoid assassination, to avoid having his family killed? You think just maybe that, you know, he really meant what he said when he was running? Or do you think, like you said in your final thing, that he was never for real, or he could be a deep state backup to Clinton all along, and we may have all gotten played by this election?
Well, anything is possible. One of the things I really liked about Donald Trump was his instincts were absolutely right on, to include ending support for the United Nations, pulling out of NATO, doing no more regime change operations. I hope he would also end all support for dictators. I certainly want to stop the $30,000 a year that the American taxpayer pays for every man, woman, and child in Israel. That's the most money we give to any country in the world. And they spend that money basically genociding the Palestinians, as well as bribing our congressmen. So this is insane. America First was absolutely the right meme for Donald Trump to run on. I think that we have to, as responsible citizens, come to the conclusion right now that unless proven otherwise between now and 1 May, Donald Trump has been compromised, and we need to follow Justin Raimondo's advice and move on. We need to bring the alt-right, because the alt-right is the center of gravity for change in America right now. And Cynthia McKinney and Brother Cornel West and a few others can deliver the people of color. Okay? If the alt-right is genius enough to embrace the people of color and the Latinos and the small parties and lead a revolution to take our government back, I believe we can have a nonviolent revolution this summer. And I believe that we can show every member of Congress that we can put 100 people on their front lawn 24/7. And if we can do that, if we can occupy the front lawns of every member of Congress this summer, we can take our government back.
Well, it's certainly a monumentous assault on the Congress if we do that. I think that's absolutely wonderful. Now, one more thing, because we're almost out of time. We know that Kushner is a member of the Shabbat cult, and we know the Shabbat cult has been heavily linked to Mossad. Any other indications as far as the Kushner being a Mossad plan? Because that was very intriguing when you said that, and I know a lot of my listeners thought, wow, that's kind of a crazy statement. But is that a true possibility, you think, Robert, that Kushner could be involved with the Mossad through the Shabbat organization or through the Shabbat sect?
I would say that at a minimum, I suspect Kushner of having undisclosed meetings with the Mossad. At worst, he's been a Mossad agent ever since they started running him against Ivanka. Somewhere in between, he's a Sayonim sympathizer of the Mossad, and he has a conflict of interest so monumental that he should not be allowed to serve in the White House.
Okay. All right. Well, you've got about 1 or 2 minutes before the show's off the air, so I want you to go ahead and give me a summary in the next 2 minutes, and I'll go ahead and close the show. But go ahead and give me one final summary of what you want to do, and so we can tell the listeners one more time. And by the way, thank you so much for coming on again with me today. And I'll be hosting the Hagman Show in a few weeks. I'm going to try to get you on for another segment on Hagman when I do that show. So I'm looking forward to that, too. That won't be this weekend. It'll be in a few weeks.
Well, I'd like that. I'm with Dave Hodges on the Common Sense Show on the 30th of April, and I am starting another round of interviews. So I'm looking for more interviews with mainstream alt-right folks. I want to make this case about the alt-right deciding to move on beyond Trump. I'm about to publish a new Trump Revolution series that is basically titled Beyond Trump, Creating the Revolution of We the People. Now, I certainly would welcome donations. I'm trying to bring Cynthia McKinney back from Bangladesh. And I would certainly be glad if people looked at robertdavidsteele.com and phibetaiota.net. And you can always just search for me by name. I'm the top Robert David Steele on the planet. But I'm looking for alt-right support for this vision of taking America back with or without Donald Trump through the Unity Integrity Act.
Okay. Robert, thank you so much. My absolute thanks to you again for being on with us today. I mean, you have really, my head is spinning from all the things that you said, as I'm sure my audience is too. God bless you. Thank you much. Thank you so much for being on, and I'll be in touch soon. Thank you so much.
God bless you all. Bye-bye.
Thank you so much. Well, guys, you just heard Robert David Steele probably give, I think, one of the best presentations I've ever heard him give. And I've listened to many of his presentations over the last couple of years since I first met him when I interviewed him on the Power Hour, in his best-selling book that he had put out. Guys, I want you to know something. It's all about being at our Father's side, being with Jesus, being with God, and realizing that, hey, we've got to do our Father's business and His work. We've got to stay focused on this. And I think Robert's exactly right. And I made this point yesterday. It doesn't make any difference at all if Donald Trump is for real or if Donald Trump's not for real. It doesn't matter. I mean, it really doesn't. I mean, anything is an improvement over Hillary Clinton. We've got that. I mean, I think everybody listening to the show will agree with that. The problem is, I really believe, like Robert says, is that he's been compromised. I also believe a lot of the alternative talk show hosts have been compromised, along with the top evangelical pastors. So guys, continue to pray. Continue to ask Jesus to guide us, direct us, and help us. And by the way, thank you so much for supporting Health Masters and supporting this show. Many of the alternative right stations and shows are going offline now, and they're going out of business because they don't have any support. Thank you for supporting Health Masters. Thank you for getting your multiple vitamins from us. Thank you for just reading our emails and our newsletters and telling your friends about the show. I want you to know something, guys. I appreciate you, and I love you. I hope you enjoy the show. God bless you, and I'll talk to you tomorrow.